Well, if you are new here, I just want to once again say thanks for being with us today. And we are in part 22 of our series called Supernatural. Somebody say Supernatural. Oh, man, it's been a fun one. We started going through the book of Acts at the beginning of the year. And it felt like God told me to, hey, let's just go through the whole book of Acts together as a church. And it has been so powerful and so fun. And, you know, everyone knows certain characters in the Bible, I think. And there's some that are a little bit less known. But I feel like are underrated characters. Underrated people in the Bible, if you will. And, you know, everybody knows about Paul, right? Saul the Paul wrote most of the New Testament. All the letters to the different churches in the early church, and just did some incredible things. Known as the number one best missionary evangelist of all time. Dude basically just started the church. You know what I mean? He went around and planted a church. The best church planter that you could ever find, right? And he was, there's somebody else, though, that not many people know about. And he was actually a better preacher than Paul, was a better speaker than Paul. And actually in the New Testament, it's funny, they actually kind of make fun of Paul a little bit. They're like, you know, in his letters, he's very strong and very authoritative. But when he actually gets in front of people to speak, he's just kind of average. And that's actually in your Bible. They're talking about Paul. But there's somebody, oh man, that he was a true preacher. And he was a friend of Paul's. His name is Apollos, okay? Name is Apollos. The thing about Apollos, though, is that he didn't have a full understanding of who God really was. He was only partially instructed in the way of the Lord, is what we'll find in just a moment. He knew about God. He was instructed in the Old Testament scriptures, but there was still a lot that he had to learn. He had an incredible gift of preaching and of teaching and of leadership, but he had to be taught. How many of you know that we always need to learn? There's always something more to learn. Like, there's always something that we can grow in. There's always more to know about God. And so we got to be taught. And so the message today is discipleship 101. Discipleship 101. Because what is being taught about God or being taught about the scriptures, really, that's the heart of discipleship, is learning more about who God is, learning more about his word. So I want to pray for us today that we would become great and true disciples of Jesus. Amen? Come on, let's pray. Father, would you just move in this place today, as you already have been? Would you help us to grow in our faith? Help us to learn more about you and to take the things we know and actually apply them to our lives. Help us to be true disciples of you. Open up our eyes, ears, hearts, and minds to receive the word of the Lord today. And all God's children said, amen. 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 Well, Acts chapter 18 is where we find ourselves. This is where we hear about Apollos for the first time, and we'll start in verse 24. It says, meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he only knew the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Some other translations say they explained it to him more accurately or more adequately. They just needed to give him a little bit extra, okay? You see Priscilla and Aquila, by the way, this is a married couple. And you know, usually in Bible stories and just in scripture, the man's name would come first, right? We don't know why Priscilla is named first, but it might even be because Aquila was maybe a little bit more reserved, and Priscilla was kind of the more outspoken one. You know, usually when you're mentioning two people, you usually mention the person who talks more. You know what I mean? The person who's the extrovert in the couple, whether it's the man or the woman, or whether it just sounds right. Priscilla and Aquila, it just sounds good, okay? And so Priscilla and Aquila, they invite him into the home. They explain the way God more accurately. Verse 27, when Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. So, we're introduced to this guy named Apollos. He's competent in the scriptures. He knows the Old Testament very well, right? Because the New Testament had not been written yet. So what does that mean? It means he really, really knew the Old Testament scriptures. He was instructed in the way of the Lord. He even was teaching accurately about Jesus. So he knew some things about Jesus, but apparently we find out he was missing something. We don't know exactly what he was missing, but he was missing something. And Priscilla and Aquila pick up on this. There was something that he didn't know. So what did he not know? Well, maybe he didn't know about Pentecost and what happened in Acts chapter 2, right? Where the Spirit of God comes down on the upper room. There's 120 gathered there. And man, they start speaking in tongues. And man, like the Spirit of God is moving. And they're all like, these people are drunk. And they're like, no, this is what Joel prophesied about. And man, God starts to do some incredible things. The Spirit of God is breathed out over those people. Maybe he didn't know about Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Maybe he didn't know about the Great Commission, the establishment of this local church. And maybe he didn't know about the mission of Jesus now and Paul of going to the Gentiles and telling these people who are not Jews about Jesus and going around and establishing all these different churches. We don't know exactly what he didn't know, but it says that Priscilla and Aquila picked up on some things and they said, hey, would you want to come to our home? And we're going to, you know, they explained the way more accurately, more adequately. This is an incredible example of true discipleship, is it not? It's an incredible example of what it means to, hey, listen, there's something that maybe I don't know and I'm learning, I'm being taught by somebody else who's been there, who knows more, who's been walking with God longer. This is true discipleship. So today, I just want to pull out three truths from this display of discipleship that I think would really help us out today. So the first one is discipleship isn't done alone. Discipleship isn't done alone. Acts 18:26, let's read this part again. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him into their home to explain him the way of God more accurately. So they invite him into their home. What does that mean? It means discipleship, y'all, is a personal experience. Discipleship is born out of relationship. Discipleship isn't something that you do solo. And let me tell you, I'm not saying that you cannot receive from your Father in heaven. I'm not saying that you can't study the Word of God and the Holy Spirit speak to you and disciple you, right? But here's the deal. You're still not alone. You're still not alone. The Holy Spirit is the other person that is helping you in that moment. Discipleship cannot be done in your own power. You can't do it outside of a relationship with God. You can't do it outside of a relationship with others either. It's a personal experience. It's not meant to be done in isolation. Now, for people who want to be disciple makers, okay, this is a great point. If you want to be a disciple maker, you want to go out and make disciples like Jesus told us to in Matthew 18. All right, this part is for you. This is for free, okay? Listen, check this out. They take Apollos to the side. Notice something. This is what they could have done, right? You got to imagine. I like to imagine the Bible as if I was actually there, right? This is so much fun. I love doing this. Ready? Here, let's do this together. So I'm Aquila, the quiet one. Anyway, so my wife's like, no. So I'm chilling, and my wife Priscilla's here, and we're listening to this guy Apollos, and he's preaching. He's got a big old crowd around him in the synagogue. Man, this guy is spitting some fire, okay? Like, he's a real preacher. And Priscilla looks over and she's like, hey, this guy's good. I'm like, yeah, he's pretty good. It's pretty good. He knows his stuff. And then Priscilla's like, yeah, but he's off about a couple things. Like, I don't know if he knows. I don't think he knows about the upper room. I don't know if he knows about what happened and about the Spirit being poured out. He doesn't know about that. And he's like, Priscilla, calm down, okay? Like, yeah, I know he doesn't know. All right, just hold on. We'll tell him about it later, okay? And you know, like you're just imagining them have this conversation. Like, he doesn't know about this. 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 And they're talking to each other, and they're like, okay, we want to reach out to this guy. And let's bring him into our home, and let's explain the way more accurately. Notice what they didn't do. Something goes off, and then Priscilla just stands up. Hey, listen, nope, you're off. You're wrong. Nope, no. Hold on. Jesus actually said, or this is actually what happened. You don't know about Acts chapter 2 yet, do you? You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know about the upper room. Okay, let me explain it to you real quick. That's not what they did. Well, here's the deal. That would be embarrassing. Aquila doesn't come up to him and be like, hey, listen, man, like, you don't know what you're doing. Let me take over, all right? I got this, bro. Like, I'll do this. I got you, man. They don't shame him publicly, but they take him over to the side and explain it to him more accurately. Disciple making, y'all, is not calling out somebody's sin on Facebook, okay? That is not discipleship. That's not how it works. It's not publicly shaming somebody for being wrong about something. I've seen that happen a lot of times, even in small group settings. Sometimes somebody will say something, and honestly, like everybody else in the room, they know it's off and they know it's wrong, okay? But and sometimes, in some ways, it might be a good thing, but a lot of times, the best thing to do is to wait and take them aside and say, hey, listen, let me explain the way of God a little bit more accurately to you, and then we'll come back and tell everybody else later, okay? But just publicly shaming somebody is not going to be the best bet. Discipleship is best done in private conversations. Discipleship is best done in the smallest group possible. Discipleship is even best, dare I say, in a one-on-one setting. Think about it now, not from the disciple maker perspective, but now let's think about it from Apollos' perspective, okay? He's this dude, he's up there preaching, he's instructed in the scriptures. He knows his stuff. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that he is smart. Like he knows his stuff. He's been studying his entire life. He's built a great preaching ministry. He would be like the guy on TikTok who's preaching and is getting like viral. You know what I mean? Like he's the TikTok preacher. He's the Instagram guy who has all the followers and all the people follow him and his teachings and all that kind of stuff. He's the one that gets invited to speak at all the churches, okay? So he's a very powerful dude in a sense. But then these two people, what do we know about Priscilla and Aquila? Well, let me tell you, they were leather workers, okay? Leather workers. It's exactly what I just said, okay? They were not preachers. They were not evangelists. They didn't have any titles. They weren't getting invited to speak anywhere. They just worked normal jobs. Leather workers. And so now these two leather workers come up to this gifted preacher and teacher who has a traveling evangelism ministry, and they basically invite him to eat dinner at their house, and then they say, hey, Apollos, listen, we know you're a gifted teacher. Man, obviously God has blessed you, and we see so much greatness within you. But you don't know everything that you need to know. There's some things that you're a little off on. There's some things that maybe you haven't been taught yet, and we really want to tell you about. It's incredible. What could have his reaction been to that? Excuse me? Like, do you know who I am? Like, are you talking to me right now? Leather workers? Okay, leather workers. What do you know about the scripture, okay? I've been studying this my whole life. I know everything about all of the scriptures. I've been studying my whole, I know more than you. I can speak better than you. I can talk better than you. I can connect with people better than you. Who are you to tell me what I don't know, right? What happens sometimes when somebody comes to us in a discipleship kind of moment, sometimes we can get offended, right? We can get very offended. And it becomes difficult because, listen, he could have said, I'm the one with the great preaching ministry. I'm the one that gets invited to all these places. Who are you guys to talk to me about this? Proverbs 12:15, though, says this, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. The wise listen to advice. Notice who it says that we're listening to advice from. Does it say the wise listen to advice from people who have a higher position of authority? From people who maybe have been given this power to give me advice. It just says the wise listen to advice. There's no qualifying thing on there. If there's a wise person that has wise advice, I need to listen to it. Amen? Like, I need to be able to receive from anybody. Whether it's from somebody that's above me or beneath, in a sense, right? I need to be able to take and receive instruction from people in my life. Apollos isn't a fool. He's not like this. So he accepts the instruction without getting offended. Why? Because he was eager to learn. He wanted more of God's word. He wanted to be transformed by God's word. He understood the importance of discipleship. He understood the importance of learning and growing. And it's because of this that he becomes one of the greatest preachers and leaders in the early church. He had this gifting, but he had to pair it with the knowledge that he lacked. He had a gifting, but he was still what I would call a fat leader. He was a fat leader. Does anybody want to be a fat leader? Okay, listen, you don't know what it is here. Let me tell you. It's faithful, available, and teachable. Come on now. That's a fat leader right there for you. Listen, I need to be faithful, available, and teachable. These are three things that you got to be if you want to grow in your relationship with God. You need to be faithful. What does that mean? That you show up, right? That you're here. You're here at church this morning. That's amazing. That's being faithful to God's word. That's being faithful to the house of God. Being faithful to read your word in prayer and in getting alone with God. Be faithful to him and doing the things that he's told you to do. Obey God and his commands. Also be available I mean, you got to be available to serve. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Hey, listen, you need me for something? I'm available. How can I help? How can I serve? How can I get involved? Also, he was teachable. And this is where he really could have gone wrong, right? This is where he could have gone wrong because he knew everything. Apparently, he was very smart. He could have not been teachable, but he allowed himself to be humble enough to receive teaching from these leather workers who technically shouldn't know more than him, who technically shouldn't be teaching him much of anything. And yet he received instruction from them. Listen, if you want to grow in your faith, you got to be fat. Come on now, somebody. If you have a rad group leader, okay, that maybe pulls you aside, let me put this practically for you guys. If you have a rad group leader or a pastor that pulls you aside to talk about something that they see in your life that might be a little bit off, they might say, hey, listen, I just want to help you grow in your faith a little bit here. I want to explain the way of God a little bit more accurately. I want to explain what I see that I think is a little concerning, and then I want to have a conversation about it because I care about you, and I want you to grow in your faith. I don't want you to go backwards. I want you to grow. But a lot of times what we will do is we will push those kind of people away, and we'll push that advice away. We'll push that instruction away. What did the Word of God just say? That that's a foolish thing to do. We got to learn to receive instruction from those who care about us and want us to grow in our faith. We have to learn how to learn and receive instruction. Everybody needs instruction. Everybody needs to grow. I'm always listening to podcasts. Come on, I'm watching YouTube videos. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to get better. I'm reaching out to mentors that I have in my life, and I hope that you'd be doing the same thing for you in your job and life and marriage. And everybody needs to learn. Every child needs to learn how to talk, right? How do they learn how to do that? They don't just start talking randomly one day. It's because they listen to mom and dad over and over and over. And they eventually learn how to speak themselves. You don't learn a language without a teacher. How does a brain surgeon learn how to remove a tumor? Come on now. It's through years and years of practice, years and years of study, of watching other surgeons perform the surgery, and then other surgeons helping them perform the surgery, and then other surgeons watching them perform the surgery, and then eventually now they're able to do it all on their own. It's a years-long process. It's not like I read an article on Facebook about it, so I could probably do that. Yeah, for sure. I watched this one TikTok video one time, and so I know more about the Bible now. So I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? So TikTok is going to be your teacher? Google is going to be your teacher? That's exactly how many Christians treat our discipleship. I think a lot of times, unfortunately, especially in the West, is that we are disciples with no teachers. We're disciples, but who are we really following here? Are we following ourselves? Are we following what we like and what we believe and what we want to believe? Are we following culture as our teacher? Is that our rabbi? Is Google our rabbi? Or do we have somebody that can really teach us and train us? It says in Luke 6:40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. So Apollos, he just wasn't fully trained yet. And there's nothing wrong about that, but he listened more than he talked. Right? He was faithful, available, and teachable. He became a student, a disciple. And as he learned, he became like his teachers, which were who? Priscilla and Aquila. Who were their teachers? Paul. Who was Paul's teacher? Christ himself. Check this out. This is what he said. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's a pretty bold statement to make, isn't it? Y'all just need to do what I do, okay? Until you can figure it out for yourself, until you learn, just watch me and do what I do. That's a bold statement to make, but we don't like to do that, do we? I don't really, no. Listen, I'm not just going to like follow you and do exactly what you do. Like, I need to be able to receive on my own and hear from God on my own. Yes, but there's something so important about knowing that somebody knows more than you and just following them, somebody that you could trust, somebody that you care about, somebody that cares about you. Somebody that's gone a little farther than you have. Somebody that's a few years ahead of you in the process. There's nothing wrong with getting instruction and having somebody that can teach you in that way. So get around some people that know more, who are farther along. Man, you need people in your life that know more than you. That's a humbling thing though, isn't it? It's a very humbling place. And Apollos could have pushed that away, but he received it. And that's why he became as amazing as he was. One thing I do know is that the best discipleship happens in circles, not in rows. The best discipleship happens in circles, not in rows. Now listen, I can disciple you guys from the stage, and I can help bring instruction, and I can help you guys. But here's the deal. Discipleship happens best when you can ask questions. If you're not able to ask questions, it's really hard to learn. And you're not able to ask questions right now. Okay, my job as a preacher is to try to figure out the questions that you are already asking and then answer those questions. That's what good preachers do. Hey, I got to try to figure out, what are the questions that people are asking in their own hearts and their own lives? What do they want to know about? What are they thinking about? And then I have to try to answer those questions for you. But it's not a back and forth. That's why discipleship happens best in circles. The best places of discipleship that I've ever found are coffee shops and couches. For real. Go into a coffee with somebody and just hanging out. I'm telling you, I've had the best talks about God with people in coffee shops you would not believe. I've learned so much from people sitting in the coffee shop across from them, or I've learned a whole lot from just hanging out with somebody and sitting on a couch at 11 p.m. after we, you know, have had dinner and hung out for hours, and we're all just sitting around talking about God and what we're learning and the things that we're struggling with and how we can grow and get better, become more like Jesus. Those are some of the best conversations, the best discipleship that I've ever had, coffee shops and couches. And so we have some amazing group leaders that are being trained up right now. Come on, if you've never been in a rad group, I would really encourage you to get in a rad group. They start on September 1st, y'all, and they're coming up quick. And we got a lot of great leaders that are being trained up right now. They actually just got together a couple days ago, and we're hanging out together and training and learning and growing. And so I want you to get in a group. I want you to get in community. Why? Because these rows, while they're helpful and you should come to church on a Sunday morning, it's incredible. You can learn a lot. It's not enough for your full discipleship. It's not. We got to get in community with one another where you can ask questions, where you could wrestle with the Bible and wrestle with your doubts, wrestle with different things that you're going through in your life. And so the next thing for you is discipleship equips you for life and ministry. It was the instruction, the training, the wise counsel that helped Apollos take his next steps in his life and his leadership. Let me tell you this. This is important. If that word earlier said the disciple becomes like his teacher, make sure you have a good teacher. Make sure you have a good one. Because if you have a bad teacher, what are you going to end up like? Come on now. If you have somebody that's way off in their theology, you have somebody that believes some wackadoodle things, then you're going to believe some wackadoodle things. And it's very, very important. I'm telling you, I've been baffled at some of the crazy things that Christians believe. Some of y'all believe some weird stuff, man, you know? And I'm very honest with you. 9 times out of 10, it's because people don't know their Bibles well enough. 9 times out of 10. And there's just some wild takes. I scratch my head sometimes. Like, where did you learn that? You're like, I was watching this guy on TikTok, and he was explaining it. It sounded very convincing, you know? I'm like, okay, all right, well, let's try to backtrack all of that. Most of the time, people will, you know, they'll brush off the Bible, go, you know, and like get all the dust off it, you know, try to crack that thing open. It's all crusty and dusty. It's like, haven't been opened in months, you know. And I'm just looking for the answer about like a specific topic or a specific question I have or something like that. And I'm maybe looking for one particular verse. But most Christians I've seen, and statistically this is true, don't have like a systematic approach to learning and studying their Bible. And usually what happens is when you don't know where to start, people just don't. You just don't. Because it's too complicated, right? You ever thought that before? It's like, where do I start? You know, there are thousands of pages here, and the words are small, okay? So like, that's like a lot of words, okay? There's a lot of words in this thing, and it's very complicated, and I don't know where to start. And so what happens a lot of times when you don't know where to start, you just don't. And that's the last thing I want you to do. That's the worst thing we could possibly do is just, I don't want you to be so overwhelmed that you just don't. But here's what happens. Maybe you do start, and then you start reading a little bit, but you don't really have anybody to kind of help you through it. And so then you end up taking 2 or 3 verses wildly out of context and applying it to your life in a way that doesn't make any sense at all. And that's not a good thing either. And sometimes Christians, we won't even talk about our faith because we feel like we don't know enough. You ever felt like that before? Like, I don't want to talk about my faith because what if I come across somebody like Apollos who has this ability to debate people in a public square? That's an incredible gifting, is it not? How many of y'all took debate in high school? Anybody take debate in high school or college, anything like that? I went to such a small school, we didn't even have nothing like that. We didn't have a football team. Come on now. So, but I didn't take anything like that. That's an incredible gift to be able to sit maybe in a stage or for in Apollos' example, to be surrounded by a large group of people, have somebody across from you that believes something completely opposite than you, and try to debate them and prove to them why your position is correct. That's incredible. What happens if I, as a Christian, get next to somebody like that that doesn't believe like me, but they have that debate gifting, and now I'm going to look so stupid? Like, I don't even want to share my faith, because what happens if that person, you know, I might even be questioning my faith by the end of this conversation. You know, like, I don't want to do that. And so we just don't say anything at all. But my heart, y'all, for you, my heart for our church, and even for me, my family, is I want us to be mature in our faith. Amen? I want us to grow in our faith. I want us to go from the milk to the meat of the gospel, right? I don't want us just to stay where we're at, but I want to grow in my faith. I want to learn more about God. I want to grow in my knowledge of God and in my faith in God. Listen, I know a lot of people, sometimes this is what I see. When you first come to Jesus, a lot of times they're very excited about their faith. They're like, oh, yes, let's go. I'm going to tell everybody about Jesus. You know, they got a lot of zeal is what the Bible says. They got zeal for God. But you know what it says? Zeal without knowledge could get you in some trouble. I got a lot of zeal. Like, I want to go tell people about my faith. God's done some great things in my life. But if you don't really know God, then, man, that could be a problem. You don't got a lot of knowledge about him. Maybe he's done something in your heart, done something in your life. That's amazing. But, man, listen, there are some things that we know about God to be true, and we need to know what those things are. They haven't taken time to study God's word, to really get into it. Okay, so I want to do a poll. How many of y'all have been watching the Olympics? Because I am absolutely in love, okay? I love the Olympics. I got a few people here that are with me, all right? We got a very, very high raised hand in the back from Annette. Okay, cool. I love the Olympics. It is so much fun. I watched so many sports during the Olympics that I didn't even know existed. You know what I mean? Like, I'm watching water polo, and I'm like, there's like an 800-meter swimming freestyle. I'm like, dude, like, that's amazing. I thought freestyling was just rap, but apparently you guys do that in swimming too. That's incredible. I'm watching that. I've never watched swimming a day in my life, but every 4 years, you better believe I'm like, USA, USA. You know, like, I'm getting after it. It's amazing. Table tennis, it's like game 7 of the NBA Finals for me. Like, watching these guys going crazy, so much fun. And you know, my favorite person though, come on, is Simone Biles. Like, she's just incredible. Like, that chick is just on top of the world right now. She's won so many gold medals. Absolutely incredible. Represented the country so well. And so my son and my daughter, I'll be sitting there and we'll be watching the Olympics. And I taught Oakland and Tegan how to go like, USA, USA, USA. And so, like, something good will happen, maybe score a goal in soccer. And now I'm not even in the room, and it'll just be on the TV, and I'll just hear from across the room, USA, USA. And I'm like, yes, that's what I'm talking about. I'm chanting USA. He's like, people ask me, what do you know about Simone Biles? Like, she's the number one gymnast in the world. Duh. Okay, well, what else do you know about Simone Biles? I don't know, but she's awesome. You know what I mean? Like, obviously so cool. And, you know, somebody might ask you about your faith, and you're just like, I mean, I love Jesus. You know what I mean? I love Jesus. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. It's like, well, what do you know about Jesus? Well, he's the number one God in the universe. Duh. Yeah, but what do you really know about him? Like, what else do you know? What are the facts about him? What do you know? Right? Sometimes I think we're like that. And there's certain things that we know about God. We know that they are true. And yet, in our culture, in Christian circles now, some of these things that we know for a fact are even being questioned. And your views on these things determine how you view God. It's very important that we get these right. What do you believe about marriage? What do you believe about sexuality? What do you believe about heaven and hell? What do you believe about the Holy Spirit? What do you believe about the Bible itself? A lot of people now are even trying to attack the Bible as if it's not God's word, as if it doesn't have power to change our lives. So you have to know what you believe about these things. Do my beliefs line up with God's word? Or are they incomplete? Do I need to be taught a little bit more accurately? Do I need to be taught a little bit more adequately about God's word? Is there something that I need to learn? Is there some way that I can grow? What is that, guys? That's discipleship. That's it. That's it right there. Learning that, listen, what is discipleship? Let me put it to you this way. It is the process of being and becoming a disciple of Christ. It is being a disciple Like, hey, this is discipleship. I am a disciple, but I'm also in the process of becoming every single day a disciple of Jesus. So what is a disciple? There's three things. It's your head, it's your heart, and it's your hands. It's not just one of these. It's a mix of all three of these. It's got to be in your head. This is what the Word of God says, that you have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for your... We talked about this just last week. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you will be what? Saved, okay? So it's a head knowledge of believing and knowing who Jesus is and what he's done. That he came down to this earth, he died on the cross, and he was raised again on the third day. You got to know these things. What do you believe about the Bible and God's word? What do you believe about the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, this Trinity, right? Like these are terms that I want you to know that we should know as Christ followers. And so the second thing, heart. It's also a heart thing. It's being changed by Jesus through the Holy Spirit on this regular basis. It's not something that happens when you get saved. Like the second that you say, you know, I believe in Jesus and we believe that he does something in your heart, the Holy Spirit comes to live and reside within you. But man, it's a process, right? Like not everything that you do in your life, not all the bad decisions you make are just going to stop immediately. Not all the addictions that you have are going to be broken automatically. Sometimes it is a process of sanctification. That's another big churchy word for you, but I want you to know it. What is that? It's the process of becoming more like Jesus. Oh my goodness. It's also a hands thing. You got to know who Jesus is. You got to be changed by Jesus in your heart, but it's also your hands. There are good works that God has for you to do. Good things that we're supposed to be doing for Jesus. People say, well, I'm saved by faith, not by works. Absolutely you are, but it is your faith that leads you to do the works of Jesus. Faith without works is what? Dead. So it's a head, heart, and a hands thing. Some of you might be really good at one of these. You might be really good at two of these. And you might be really lacking in one or two of these things, but they are all a part of discipleship. So you got to identify, what am I not doing really well at? Am I having trouble with my knowledge about God? Do I just need to get in the Word and really study some more? Do I just need more knowledge? I just want to learn more. Maybe it's a heart thing, and maybe you're just having trouble, and you haven't been sitting with the Lord. You haven't been connecting with God personally in that way. You need your heart to be changed a little bit more. Or maybe it's a hands thing. Maybe you know a lot about God and man, your heart's been changed by him, but you're just sitting in the pews, right? You know what I mean? You're sitting in the seats and you're not really doing anything for Jesus. And maybe it's time to step up and start serving. Maybe it's time to step up and do something for God, to serve on the rad team at Radical Church. Or maybe that means just to serve somebody at a homeless shelter or pass out some clothes to some people that are in need, to serve at the back-to-school bash in just, you know, a few days. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a mix of all of these things. That's what a true disciple really looks like. And it's not just for my life, guys. Discipleship is for others. It's not just for me, it's for other people to find and follow Jesus. Apollos was even more bold in his faith after the instruction, after the discipleship process that he went through. He was able to defend his faith better because he received that discipleship and that instruction from other people, because he knew more now. He had more knowledge, so he was able to defend it even better. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 28. I alluded to it earlier, the Great Commission. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Ready? Here we go. And teaching them. Somebody say teaching. To obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Part of the Great Commission of Jesus. And if you don't know this passage, I would encourage you to memorize this one. If you want to start somewhere, you want to know what to start with, start here. This is what Jesus left his disciples with. And let me tell you, you are a disciple of Jesus. Come on now, we are disciples of Jesus. I want to grow in my discipleship, in my walk with God. This is what he left us with. He said, go and make disciples, baptize them, tell them about me, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Guys, I cannot teach something that I don't know. If I don't know my word, how am I supposed to teach other people? If I don't know the commands of Jesus, how am I supposed to teach them to others? I cannot give what I have not received myself. I can't give what I don't have. And so it's important that we have the commands of Jesus written on our heart. It's important that we have the commands in our heart and in our head, because we're going to need those. We're going to need those to help other people become more like him. Here's a stat that I found interesting. 80% of adult households own a Bible. And with the rise of technology, right, the Bible is free. I don't know if you know that. You can get it anywhere on your phone. The YouVersion Bible app, right? There's so many different apps that you could download. You can have access to the Word of God anytime, anywhere, any day. That's incredible, isn't it? It did not used to be like that. And in many parts of the world, it's not like that. You know, the Bible's never been more accessible, but the research shows that it's never been less read. That's unfortunate, isn't it? The Bible's availability is at an all-time high, but what the researchers have found is that biblical literacy is at an all-time low. What does that mean? The Bible's never been more available, but people have never read it or understood it less. That shouldn't be. You know, I was talking to a friend, Kevin, who was in first service, and he told me a great story. We weren't talking about this. He didn't know I was going to be preaching about this, but he told me this story. I just want to tell it to you. He said, I believe it was in 2013, my first trip to China, when we took a suitcase of Bibles to an underground Bible school in Kunming, China. The school was on top of a mountain, had been raided several times by the Chinese Communist Party and police. Many teachers and students had suffered a lot, including jail sentences and beatings if caught studying the scriptures. We know of people who've lost every possession they own, including their home. The school at times would be infiltrated by spies and would report to the authorities things that were being taught there. We were invited to go there and encourage the local believers. The school is also a place where they make a popular fishing lure as a cover called Boogle Bug. When we arrived, we were shown around the facility and shown secret passages in the walls where students would hide in the event of a raid. The desk in the classrooms had drawers underneath, or they would actually rotate. And on one side were the fishing lure materials, and then they would flip it, and on the other side would have pages of scriptures and materials used for their Bible studies. Also along the winding road to the school, at strategic points were stationed lookouts to report any traffic headed up the mountain, and lookouts on top of the school as well. After some time there, we broke out the Bibles to give to a group of about 30 students, some who had never seen or held a complete Bible in their hands. At a Bible school, we were quickly overwhelmed by the response of these young believers as we handed out the Bibles. They began to weep uncontrollably, lay the Bibles at our feet, and they would bow down weeping with the Bibles. Our team could not control our own emotions because none of us had ever seen such a respect and a reverence for the written Word of God, something that here in America is taken for granted. Many of these students only had partial parts of a Bible or maybe just a few pages, and they were diligent in memorizing what they had. There was such a reverence toward us who had taken the risk of transporting Bibles all the way from America just to give them to them. Listen, if I can encourage you with one thing today, it's just to get desperate to know more of God. To get this deep desperation for learning more about this word that he's given us. You want to know more about God. You want to feel his presence. You want to learn what his voice sounds like. You're like, I can't hear God. Listen, you got thousands of pages of it right there on your phone. It's free. We have unfettered access to it. The most access that we have ever had in the history of the world in thousands of years to the actual words of the creator of the universe. And yet, we're too busy for it. Listen, I'm not in the game of like shaming people. I don't want you to feel shame. I just want you to like, can we just take a second to recognize that this is how we treat God's word sometimes? Can we just be honest with ourselves? I don't want to make anybody feel bad today, but what I'm saying is, man, this is important. It's so, so important. I have to have more of God's word. I just want us to get to that place where like, man, I got to have more. I want to study more. I have to know God more. His word gives me life. His word has the power to change me and change my situation, change my life. And it can really change other people's lives. If I write these words on my heart, I got to know more of you, God. There's a desperation that we don't have sometimes that I think we should learn. We need to get to that place of desperation for God. God, I need you. I want more of you. I just want to know who you are. I want you to speak to me. And God, thank you for this word that you've given me. God, I'm going to reverence it. I'm going to study it. I'm going to learn it. I'm going to memorize it. And then, Lord, when I get out and about in my life, would you use the words that I've written on my heart? Would you use these commands that you've given me, Lord, to help me to make a difference in somebody's life? Would you use me to help somebody to find you and follow you, God? Would you help me to become a better husband, a better leader, a better wife, a better son, a better daughter, Lord, a better coworker, Lord? All of these things, God, and I know that your word will help me with these things. God, I'm desperate to learn more about you. I think we need to get to that kind of a place. The last thing is discipleship is a lifelong class. Guys, discipleship isn't just a course. It's not done in a semester, a year. You can't graduate with a diploma or a degree in discipleship. I don't care what Bible college you went to, and I went to Bible college, okay? Listen, I'm telling you, it's a lifelong journey of becoming more like Christ. Every day, we become a little bit more like him. Every day, I want to know the way of God a little bit more accurately. I want to know it a little bit more adequately. There's always more to learn about God. And you'll never stop learning about the goodness of God. Isn't that awesome? There's always something new to learn. There's always something better. There's always something that you can learn about him to praise him for. There's always something that you can thank him for and a new thing that you didn't know about him. As you're reading scripture, I can't tell you how many times I've been reading the word. Something new will pop out at me. And I'm like, oh, God, thank you so much for this. You're incredible. I've never even seen this before. I've never even understood this before. But God, thank you so much that this is who you are and this is what you do. Would you stand in this place today? I want to encourage you to do something real quick. I want you guys to become more like Christ. And, you know, we were looking at our discipleship methods here at the church. And how can we help people become more like Jesus and practically, you know, learn the doctrines of our faith, learn those things that we know to be true, right, about who God is and what he does. And so we have this thing called Discipleship 101. If we can go ahead and throw that one up on the screen. Discipleship 101. And this is our way of equipping you and helping you to become more like Jesus and to learn some of the basics of our faith. Maybe you're brand new to faith. Maybe you've been in faith for a while, but you just want a refresher course. This isn't something that's too lofty that's going to go over your head, right? But it also is, it's just enough for a new believer and also a seasoned believer. You're going to get something out of it. It'll tell you a little bit about our church and what we believe as well. But this is a course you could actually take through Right Now Media. So if you want to, you can go to radicalchurch.life/groups. You can pull out your phone right now if you want to. And you could scan the QR code or go to that link right there. And I want you to check it out. Right Now Media is a resource that we pay for. It's like the Netflix of Bible study. That's the best way to put it. Netflix of Bible study. And it has incredible Bible teaching. It has amazing small group things that you can go through with a small group. It actually has like discussion guides and all kinds of fun stuff. It even has, you know how tough it is to find good Christian kids programming nowadays, like on your TV? It's so tough. They have all kinds of kids TV shows for all different ages that you could just put on in your home and have that running with your kiddos, okay? So this is extremely important. It's an incredible resource, not just Discipleship 101, but Right Now Media. So we pay for it, and we want you to have access to it. It's a free account for you and for your family. So I really would encourage you, if not right now, go to this link, radicalchurch.life/groups, and get into Discipleship 101. It'll help you learn and grow in your faith. It'll help you learn some of those things that we know about God to be true. And it'll help you in your everyday life as you learn and try to become a better disciple of Jesus, okay? So I encourage you, please do this and do it together. Do it with somebody. Discipleship isn't done alone, right? Go through this with your wife, with your husband, with a friend, with a small group, with a rad group, whatever that looks like. And then when rad groups start in just a few weeks, it's September 1st is when they start. Man, I encourage you, get in a group, get in a community, because I believe that's the best way, not in rows, but in circles where you could really become like Jesus. All right, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to become more like you, the opportunity to read your word and to, God, I pray that you would forgive us if we haven't reverenced your word in the way that we should. Help me to grow in my faith. Help this church to become mature, to go on from the milk to the meat of the gospel. to really know what it looks like to be a disciple of Jesus, not just to know a few commands, but Jesus, that we would honor you by actually going through your word and looking and seeing what you said and what you've told us to do, what you've instructed us to do, and that we would try our best to live that way. God, I know there's grace. We're not always going to get it right, and there's grace for that. But Lord, I pray that you would just give us this desire and this hunger and this desperation to learn more about you and to grow in our faith and to become more like you. God, we need that back in America. We need that in our church. We need that in our city. And I believe it'll change our lives. So God, rise that hunger up within us, within somebody in this place today. Encourage them, Lord, in their faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God praise today. Hey, I encourage you at some point today, go check it out, Discipleship 101. I'd love for you to start that journey. And also, if you're new to the faith and maybe you've given your life to Jesus recently, next week is Baptism Sunday, guys, all right? So if you want to get baptized, just go to radicalchurch.life/events. We would love to partner with you and celebrate with you in baptism. Bring your family, bring your friends. It's always a big celebration. We love you guys. We'll see you next week. God bless.